A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text Number 8. Lord Krishna enters into Dwarka. Aho sanata dhuta smayatayam.
Aho sanata dhuta smayatayam.
Kavistapalam apitura darshanam.
Kavistapalam apitura darshanam.
Premasmita snigdha nirakshananam.
Premasmita snigdha nirakshananam.
Pashyama rupam tava sarusam sovagam.
Pashyama rupam tava sarusam sovagam.
Aho sanatha bhavata smayarpayam.
Aho sanatha bhavata smayarpayam.
Pradistapanam api durodarshanam. Premasmita smita nirikshananam.
Premasmita smita nirikshananam.
Pashyama rupam tava sarva sovagam.
Pashyama rupam tava sarva sovagam.
Aho sanata bhavata smayarpayam.
Aho sanata bhavata smayarpayam.
Pradistapanam api
durodarshanam.
Premasmita smita nirikshananam.
Premasmita smita nirikshananam.
Pashyama rupam tava sarva sovagam.
Pashyama rupam tava sarva sovagam.
Aho.
Aho.
Oh, this is our good luck.
Oh, it's our good luck.
Sanataha.
Sanataha.
To be under the protection of the Master.
To be under the protection of the Master.
Bhavata.
Bhavata.
By your good self.
By your good self.
Sma.
Sma.
As we have become.
As we have become.
Yadvayam.
Yadvayam.
As we are.
As we are.
Dryavista.
Dryavista.
Panam.
Panam.
Of the demigods.
Of the demigods.
Ati.
Ati.
Also.
Also.
Duradashanam.
Duradashanam.
Very rarely seen.
Very rarely seen.
Prema smita.
Prema smita.
Smiling with love.
Smiling with love.
Snigdha.
Snigdha.
Affectionate.
Affectionate.
Nirikshanananam.
Nirikshanananam.
Face looking in that mode.
Face looking in that mode.
Hashema.
Hashema.
Let us look.
Let us look.
Rupam.
Rupam.
Beauty.
Beauty.
Tava.
Tava.
Yo.
Yo.
Sarva.
Sarva.
Oh.
Oh.
Sovagam.
Sovagam.
Auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness.
Translation perfect by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, it is our good luck that we have come again today under your protection by your presence. For your Lordship rarely visits even the denizens of heaven. Now it is possible for us to look into your smiling face, which is full of affectionate glances. We can now see your transcendental form, full of auspiciousness. Purport. The Lord in his eternal personal form can be seen only by the pure devotees. The Lord is never impersonal, but he is the supreme absolute personality of Godhead, possible to be visited by devotional service face to face, which is impossible to be done even by the denizens of higher planets. When Brahmaji and other demigods want for the self Lord Vishnu, the plenary portion of Lord Krishna, they have to wait on the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu is lying on the land, Sveta Dweep. This ocean of milk and the Sveta Dweep planet are the replica of a Kunta Loka in the universe. Neither Brahmaji nor the demigods like Indra can enter into this island of Sveta Dweep, but they can stand on the shore of the ocean of milk and transmit their message to Lord Vishnu, known as Shri Rakshai Vishnu. Therefore, the Lord is rarely seen by them. But the inhabitants of Dwarka, because of their being pure devotees without any tinge or the material contamination of fruitive activities and empirical philosophical speculation, can see him face to face by the grace of the Lord. This is the original state of living entities and can be attained by reviving the natural constitutional state of life, which is discovered by devotional service only. All the gyanas and rendasyaki and kanashalata and shakshayu and tamina, tasmai, shri, vayna, 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 Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sada Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sada Kavanaya Shravanadi Surachite Karya Udaya, that this pure loving devotion, this pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the heart of the living entity. And it's not something that we have to gain from an external source, that it is actually already there within the heart of the living entity. So it's very important that we understand that this is actually our original state, just as we know the original state of water in its liquid form, although it can be manipulated to condense, to freeze, etc., to become ice particles. But it's in its original state, it is liquid by nature. So in our original consciousness, we are Krishna conscious. We're not so much interested in the external energy of Krishna. So in this verse, we're being told about Krishna's entrance into Dwarka and how he's being received by the different personalities there. Srila Prabhupada in his purport is explaining the situation of being able to see Krishna, that it is not actually up to our material vision that we can see Krishna. And as yesterday I was listening to Srila Prabhupada speaking with a few people in France, I think it was 1974, about five French cardinals and a few members of some Christian sect, and they were speaking about love, how religion is meant to revive our natural propensity to love God. And Prabhupada kept on asking them what the process of this love of God was, and they kept on saying things like, you know, tolerance and compassion. And Prabhupada kept on asking, you know, that's what you ask them to become like, but what is the process to love God? What's your process? And they were beating around the bush and they couldn't say. And Prabhupada was explaining that if you want to know how to love God, there should actually be a scientific process that we are not manufacturing. So after asking them what their process or the so-called process was, he started asking them, what principles do you live by? Do you protect animals? He asked them so many different questions. And after they had, one of them said they do not force anyone to live in a certain way, to take certain regulative principles. Prabhupada immediately stopped and said, it is a waste of time, I will not waste my time with you. So Prabhupada was very heavy. He said, you say you want to love God, you have no process, and on top of that, you are not able to see the life force in every different type of living entity, so therefore, how can there be love? If you want to love everyone, you actually have to love God. And you have to understand who the source of that love is, and then you can repose your love to every living entity. And Prabhupada gave the example that if you want to nourish a tree, you have to water the root of the tree. And by watering the root of the tree, you are showing your love for the twigs, the leaves, the branches. They also get nourished. So this is the process of loving God, that you to get to love God and everyone else, you have to go to the root of that love. And that is the process of bhakti, that we are practicing Krishna consciousness, or we are putting our loving propensity towards Krishna, and in that way we learn to love the other parts and parcels of Krishna. So this material vision that the material sphere is working under, it is defective because we know, being in the material world, we are illusioned, we have imperfect senses, we have a cheating propensity, and we commit mistakes, so we cannot manufacture anything perfect. No one can actually manufacture anything that is perfect. No person, no human being can actually manufacture real dharma because we have these imperfections. But we get understanding of what Sanatana Dharma is from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam for us is a guideline of principles to follow, a process to follow in achieving perfection, in achieving actually having, coming to the point of having a darshan of Krishna. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains how even the demigods who are very, very advanced, more advanced than normal human beings, whenever they get into a precarious situation, of course, they approach their leader, the most intelligent being Lord Brahma, and they go to the island of Svetadvip within this material sphere, which is none different, a replica of the Svetadvip in the Vaikuntha planet, and they offer their prayers. Prabhupada mentions that they do not enter that island, they're actually just standing on the shore. Later on in the 8th canto, just before they go and churn the North Ocean, when the demigods approach Lord Vishnu again, Prabhupada explains in the purport that they actually, not only don't they enter onto that strange planet, they do not even see the Lord, they just hear him. So they offer their prayers and the Lord will respond by revealing it to Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma will impart the response to all the different demigods there, and they will act accordingly. So here, if we compare ourselves to these exalted servants of Krishna, the demigods of course are servants of Krishna, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Shiva, still they do not have that permission to have direct darshan of Krishna. No matter how materially opulent one may be, that does not count as a prerequisite to having darshan of Krishna. And that should become more obvious to us because we are in a world where we're taught that you have to become someone and only then can you be acknowledged without having a title or without having weight on your last name or on your degree or on your CV, that you actually cannot make progress in life. But in the process of devotional service, we understand that Krishna doesn't see anything else but our sincerity of purpose in trying to understand him. Lord Bhamadev mentions this after he, Bali Maharaj, gets captured by the ropes of Varuna, that the Lord shows him special mercy, not because he could see that Bali Maharaj wanted to surrender, although he was of a demoniac mentality. Bhamadev didn't see all of that. He just saw that that Bali Maharaj wanted to offer his head as a stepping place for the Lord, and that is what Lord Bhamadev was focusing on. He didn't see any other misconduct. He wasn't focusing on any other quality of Bali Maharaj apart from that. And very interestingly enough, before Lord Bhamadev begged for charity, he started glorifying Bali Maharaj based on his family lineage. So he started explaining how such great personalities had taken birth in his family, his great-grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. He spoke about the great Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, in that way trying to incite in him this mood of giving and charity. So he is very expert, especially when it comes to those who are afflicted by material contamination, he knows how to deal with different types of mentalities to get them to actually come under the grip of his energy. So this is a wonderful quality of Krishna, that he's very expert in dealing with different types of personalities. The next point Srila Prabhupada makes here is that the Lord is rarely seen, but because the residents of Dwarka were pure devotees and they had no tinge of any other material contamination of mental speculation or fruitive activities, they could actually see the Lord face to face. So as Prabhupada always mentions, that we're given this process of devotional service, specifically if we study the pages of Nectar of Instruction, it is very simply put by the Acharyas that we should practice devotional service in a certain way, following certain guidelines, rules and regulations. Of course, the Shravanam Kirtanam is always there in any phase of our Krishna consciousness, but also we have to develop a deeper understanding into the character and the personality of Krishna. And by understanding the tattva of Krishna, we can understand how Krishna has different rasas as well with his devotees, which do not limit his activities but makes them even more unlimited. So Krishna's rasas cannot be narrowed down to just one or two. You know, he has 5 primary rasas and 12 secondary secondary rasas, and within all of that there's different subsections of how Krishna will reciprocate and the different levels of intensity that he will reciprocate with his devotees, who are free from this empirical speculation and who are free from fruitive activities. So the mentality of fruitive activities and philosophical speculation is that one actually just sees themselves as the doer, as the proprietor, as the maintainer, as the source of everything in their existence. That is the clouded covering of mental speculation and fruitive mentality. That one is striving very hard based on their own gross and subtle strength to try and achieve the goal of life, to try and achieve something tangible in existence. But acting in this way, of course, slowly diminishes the servant mentality of a living entity. So when we get rid of this clouded consciousness, then one can actually see Krishna working even in the material world. So we never separate material existence from Krishna, because we understand that all energies are coming from Krishna. The material energy is coming from Krishna. Krishna's internal potency is there, it belongs to him, and that's why he gives a system of how to be reunited with the spiritual energy. He gives a process about how to get out of the grips of the material energy at the same time. So all our trust actually should be invested in Krishna's instructions, because he knows how his energy works. We actually still don't know how Krishna's energy is working, because one minute we can become very enamored and attracted by Krishna, and then immediately 2 minutes later we are in forgetfulness of Krishna. So we may repeat the same mistake over and over again, lifetime after lifetime. And that is why we're still stuck in this cycle of birth and death, because we're committing the same mistake over and over again. And because Krishna is the supreme independent God, we also have independence. Therefore, it is up to us to change our view, to change our mindset and switch it towards Krishna's loving service instead of indirectly trying to serve Krishna by being attracted to the external energy. So seeing Krishna face to face is not a cheap process. We actually have to qualify ourselves to see Krishna face to face. Because by seeing Krishna face to face means that Krishna can come under our control, as we see when Yudhisthira Maharaj and Queen Kunti were offering their prayers to Krishna for him to stay, because they were always having direct darshan of Krishna. They were controlling Krishna by their loving devotion. And in that way, Krishna was duty bound to actually stay with them a little bit longer, because they had so much love and affection for him. In Krishna's pastimes, it's not that the devotee is offering Krishna heaps and mounds of materially opulent resources, etc. It is that the devotee is offering the love to Krishna. And that is what is attractive to Krishna. Krishna is not attracted by any material facility, because everything already belongs to Krishna. Prabhupada uses the wonderful example in the same pastime with Bali Maharaj, that we may take bath in the Ganges River, and then after that we take the same water of the Ganges and offer them back to the Ganges River. So the Ganges River does not gain, nor does it lose anything, but it is the offering that is most important. So similarly, everything in this creation belongs to Krishna, and Krishna becomes pleased when we offer it back to him, because we're submitting ourselves to his lotus feet. We're showing Krishna through action that we accept him as the Parameshvara. We accept him as the Ishvara, as the supreme controller and the maintainer. So when Krishna sees our steps to become reinstated in our original constitutional position, then Krishna makes arrangements for us to gradually keep remembering and keep understanding and getting away from our mudha mentality, of our foolish mentality, thinking that we're extremely separate from Krishna. So we know in the nectar of instruction there's a process given about how to not spoil one's devotional service, and then instructions given on what actually spoils our devotional service. So I'll just read it out, because I think it's very important that we understand sometimes when we're practicing devotional service, we're not feeling enthused, or we don't feel like we're going anywhere, we don't feel like we're doing anything in Krishna's service. It becomes mechanical and it becomes dry. And the acharyas do say, yeah, if you can make some advancement if you just become a mechanical practitioner, but you can make even more once you put your heart into the service that you're doing, which is none different from Krishna. So in the text 3 of the Nectar of Instruction, there are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service: being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulative principles such as Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna, abandoning the association of non-devotees, and following the footsteps of previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So Prabhupada is explaining that by actually understanding and digesting these 6 principles, that we are actually performing pure devotional service, not just devotional service, but pure devotional service, which is what captures Krishna. So our enthusiasm, our patience, our confidence lies in our surrender to Krishna. Because we have to understand that all these attributes actually don't just manifest by our own strength. In bhakti there's our endeavors, but it mostly depends on Krishna's reciprocation and Krishna's devotees. So nowhere in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna do we see that it is just one individual devotee doing his thing, serving Krishna, not having a senior around them or not having a guru. Even in the most intimate circles of Krishna's pastimes, there's always a leader of the Sakis, of the Manjaris, of the Gopis. Even though they're on the platform of Bhav or Ragmar, Raganuga Bhakti, even though they're on the spontaneous platform, still they accept a guru. Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were all very advanced, but they accepted a guru to show that it is very important. We are never independent. We are always dependent on the Vaishnavas or the pure devotees of the Lord. So it's all the advancement that we make, we should actually understand it is just, it's not us. It is the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And when we understand that, actually we will always be grateful and we'll always be mindful and we'll always be humble, understanding that if it wasn't for devotee A, B, C, D, I would be nowhere. If it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, we wouldn't be in this temple. If it wasn't for our spiritual master, we wouldn't be in this country, we wouldn't be practicing devotional service. If it wasn't for this temple president or this manager, we wouldn't have this temple. So many things. If Krishna's devotees weren't there, we wouldn't probably be chanting Hare Krishna. So by understanding that our jewel-like qualities are ultimately coming from the topmost devotees of the Lord, their blessings, their acharyas. So if you understand that the mercy of Krishna comes through the pure devotees, the mercy of Krishna comes also through the devotees that we live with. So we may have darshan of the deities every day. We see Shri Shivada Balabha, Shri Shri Goni Thai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And for some time, we might not have the realization that they're actually very active. I know, you know, Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda, they just look like they're just like this all the time. They're just holding the entire existence, they're just dancing. Jagannath might look like he's just staring, that's all he does. But they're actually very, very instrumental every single day. They're actually running the show. Now this is their temple. And these are their devotees and they're engaging them every single day. So Krishna is not inactive. Krishna works through his devotees. And this is Krishna's mercy. That Krishna, he has hundreds and thousands of, you know, goddesses of fortune serving him. And then he has the jivas in the material world in earth planet, where Brahma only has four heads, the smallest universe in creation. That universe was Chaturmukha Brahma. And apparently this is the universe with the most puffed up living entities, Chaitanya Bhagavata explains. So, and then the Lord appears with his devotees to engage us in his service, and that is his mercy. And the Lord actually, he doesn't need anything, but he engages us in his service for, and that is how we have his reciprocation. So showing that we're enthusiastic in our service, we're patient with Krishna. One advice I was given is that we have to learn to be patient and trust that Krishna knows what he is doing. We have to retrain our consciousness. Because material consciousness means now. It means I want this now, in 2 minutes. My dinner should be done in 2 minutes. I'm going to pop it in the microwave. I want to become a pure devotee next month. I want to fix this problem right now. We're conditioned to having things done right now, my way. And if that doesn't happen, we make noise about it. Then we start shooting and we start bombing places. But a pure devotee understands that Krishna is very expert in his reciprocation. That he is the perfect reciprocator. Actually, that we have to understand. Especially when we read these pastimes where we see how the ladies, they are up at the rooftops gazing at Krishna. They're not running in front, hugging Krishna's feet or wanting to touch him, but they're up at the rooftops and Krishna is reciprocating with them as much as he would have reciprocated with them if they were up close and personal. So it's not about physical proximity. It's never about physical proximity. The past few weeks we've been hearing about how the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a glimpse of this service in union and service in separation. And actually how service in separation is the highest form of serving the Lord. Because in that state all your bodily functions are Krishna conscious. What you're thinking of Krishna, whatever you see it's Krishna, whatever you hear it's Krishna. Your entire body to try and see Krishna. When you're in union, it's your eyes, you're just seeing Krishna. But in separation, your entire existence is just yearning for Krishna. So it becomes even much more intensified. So following in the footsteps of the Acharyas, the last point in this principles for executing pure devotional service is that we follow the footsteps of the previous Acharyas. And their mood is not that I'm with Krishna right here, right now, we're walking to the forest together hand in hand. Their mood is that they're constantly in their consciousness thinking of Krishna in separation. So these residents of Dwarka are teaching us how to actually become Krishna conscious internally and externally. And internally we get purified by the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, all the nine processes Prahlad Maharaj mentions in the 7th canto. That we become purified by those and then gradually we'll always be thinking of Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya said, you know, we are already Krishna conscious. It is already established in the heart. Like a child can already walk, but he just needs to practice. It's just a matter of time till a child starts walking, and we know that. We've seen kids start crawling and then they start walking. If they're given the proper facilities, they're taught, okay, now you start walking. So similarly, the conditioned soul, given the process of bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, gradually they'll start understanding that they're an eternal servant of Krishna and they are nothing but Krishna's servant. And it is just a matter of time till we actually get that realization. Considering that we stay within the bounds of the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. Any slight deviation, actually Prabhupada says, we will miss the point. So these devotees of Krishna, in their original state, in their Krishna conscious, they have had direct darshan of Krishna. So we all have this desire, this intense longing to be reunited with Krishna. But we have to rid ourselves of food of mentality and mental speculation. Once that is gone, we will actually have pure love for Krishna. There will be no tinges whatsoever. All those tinges of speculating, maybe I should do this, or maybe I should not do like this, that is all actually speculation unless we just take guidance of the principles given by Krishna himself and his pure devotee. So once these contaminations are gone, then we're functioning on the platform of pure devotional service. Only then can we see Krishna face to face. And that is where we will achieve the greatest satisfaction. So nothing else can actually satisfy the soul other than being reunited with Krishna. So these residents, although Krishna was away for some time, they always had Krishna in their consciousness. A pure devotee can't actually ever be in ignorance. Although they might be separated from Krishna, they'll always be thinking of Krishna. lot of devotees have attained perfection by thinking of Krishna. A lot of devotees become Krishna conscious just by hearing about Krishna. We can attain perfection by constant remembrance of Krishna. And through the purification, we get to see Krishna face to face. But that is not a cheap process. It takes work every single day. We have to work on ourselves. We have to work on getting rid of the fruit of mentality, gross and subtle, name, fame, prestige, adoration. We have to get rid of mental speculation. I should serve Krishna like this. No one else can tell me how to serve Krishna. I am my own boss. We have to get rid of that mentality. That clouded mentality blocks pure bhakti to flow into the heart. So by taking instruction from Krishna through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can become pure and we can have darshan of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Any question or comment?
What are you getting to do to principles?
Can I repeat that?
6 principles to all those principles.
I'm sure you're all known on enthusiasm, patience, enthusiasm, patience, endeavoring with confidence, abandoning the association of non-devotees, following the footsteps of previous acharyas. That's text number 3, Nectar of Instruction. Okay, thank you very much. Going to mention my brother Tim Keith.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.